Access more.
This is Equip and Empower, the Christine Kane podcast. For everyone who desires to bring hope, create change, and live out their God-given destiny with passion and joy. Here's your host, Christine Kane.
You've joined us today. I'm so glad that you have tuned in today. I know that God has a powerful word for you. Now, we're in the middle of a series talking about checking our settings. If you want to see external transformation, it starts with an internal transformation. God does not work from the outside in. He works from the inside out. If you want to change things on your phone, you've got to go into your settings so that you can change the way that your phone operates. If you want to change things on your computer, you go into your settings so that you can change how your computer produces different stuff. And so it's the same with us as human beings. God works from the inside out. And I believe God has so much more for us. And we've come in for a little bit of a setting adjustment. We are readjusting our settings. Just like you set sail, many of us are just resetting our sail because we're going, hey, I'm going down the wrong course. I want to get on the right course. So I'm going to make the change from the inside out. And you know what? You can set yourself on basically a course of action that says this course of action is going to lead to life. And I want to go down a road that's going to lead to life, that's going to lead to abundant life, that's going to lead to blessing, that's going to lead to success. Where you are set in life is going to determine where you end up in life. And so we want our settings to be right. Now in the book of John chapter 8, I love it. The Bible says in verse 31, so Jesus said to his disciples who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I love that. The truth will set you free. Now, remember, it's not the truth that you don't know that will set you free. It's only the truth that you do know that will set you free. So if you and I want to be living a victorious, overcoming, free Christian life that God has called us to live, then we've got to be set in the Word of God. It's the truth of the Word of God. And in the day and the hour in which we live, where there is so much shifting sand, where people are just flip-flopping from one belief system to the other, we've got to be set in the truth of the Word of God. If we want to have blessing, if we want to have prosperity, if we want to have good success, then we need to be set in the truth of the Word of God. Well, last week we talked about setting our hearts right. It's so important that our heart was set right because above all else, Scripture says, above everything, that we're to guard our hearts because out of it flow all of the issues of life. Do you realize every issue, social, emotional, everything that comes out of our heart, relational, financial, actually comes from our heart. Oftentimes we try to change things out here, and God says every issue of life actually starts in your heart. How's your heart today? How's your heart today? See, it's important that we have regular open heart surgery. That's why we let the Word read us. So it can change us from the inside out. Many of us are sabotaging our own destiny because of the condition of our heart. And so if we would allow God to change our heart, creating me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, we would walk into the fullness of what God has for us and remembering that we want a passionate heart after Jesus. You know, as you get older with the Lord, make sure you don't become like a boring old person that has lost their zest for life. People that go, you know, I used to be excited, but now I'm cynical. I'm like, what is that all about? How can you go from faith to faith, from grace to grace, from glory to glory, from increase to increase, from strength to strength? That's what Scripture says. The more you come, the closer you come to Jesus, the more awe and the more wonder and the more excitement there ought to be for following Jesus. It shouldn't get dimmer. It should get brighter and it should get more awesome in your life. So we want to keep passionate hearts for God. Now, remember, the great commandment tells us that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart and then all our soul. So it is important that our soul has a reset as well. And you say, Christine, that's quite an intangible thing. And that's true. That's kind of our intellect. It's the seat of our emotions. And a lot of us, I think, are often out of whack. And it's not either even a heart issue, and it's not a spirit issue. It's a soul issue. I know in my case, this is what it was. As a woman that had experienced abuse for so many years, abandonment and rejection, I had a very wounded soul when I came to Jesus. Now, even when I got born again, I had a desperate heart after God, but a lot of my behavior patterns were still really broken. And I would do things I didn't want to do, and I didn't know why I kept doing them. Have you ever been there? You just go. And then, so I would think, I'm such a loser. And I would think, God can't use anyone like me. And you have just had these compulsive behaviors and just this ongoing pattern of destructive behavior, and everything in you wants to change it. Your heart is so sincere after God, and you seriously have prayed and you've fasted and you've believed God, and you're just like, what is wrong with me? And you've almost given up on this whole Christian journey, because not because you don't love God, but because you think that you are a failure and there is no way that you can live up to this Christian life. That was me for a really long time, until I understood the difference between my soul and my spirit. Now, let's just say when you got saved, and it could be anyone, if you become born again, you know, I'm someone that does a lot of altar calls at the events that I host. And so I often invite people to walk to the aisle and come and pray a prayer and receive Jesus. Now, you can receive Jesus right where you are, right there in your lounge room. But let's just use the example of when I'm in a big kind of crusade environment. And so someone would come down and I could pray the sinner's prayer with them, which is the most powerful prayer ever that you could ever pray. So let's just assume that that person walked down the aisle, came down the front, and they had cellulite on their thighs when they walked down here and prayed the most powerful prayer ever. The prayer that saves you out of hell and darkness and puts you into the kingdom of God, takes you from death to life. There's nothing more powerful you could ever pray. Okay, now if you had cellulite on your thighs before you prayed that prayer, I'm telling you, that cellulite's going back to the seat with you after you prayed that prayer. It's not going anywhere, okay? It's still there. And all of us think that is perfectly natural, that just because my spirit, now your spirit got born again, you went from death to life. If you believe with your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Done. Okay. But none of us think that your body's changed overnight because your spirit suddenly went from death to life, because you suddenly came alive. We know that if you want to get rid of that cellulite, lose that weight, you got to get on that treadmill and stop eating the donuts. We know that's what it's going to take. Well, why can we understand that our body doesn't change overnight when our spirit is born again? And God has created us as tripartite beings, body, soul, and spirit. Why would we think that if we came to Jesus with a wounded soul, that one prayer is going to fix that wounded soul? Our spirit is born again, but our body still needs work. So does our soul. And so when Jesus commands us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, a lot of us do. We just love him with all of our broken heart, with all of our tormented mind, and all of our wounded soul. And so we are saved and being saved. It's what is called already, but not yet. So that's the process of this earth life. It's so really weird. And you go, okay, I have to live between the two tensions, that I'm saved and I'm being saved, that I'm healed, but I'm being healed, that I'm whole, but I'm being made whole. Okay, so welcome to Christianity. You just go, wow, that's kind of the dance. And I wish someone had explained this to me earlier, because I would have had a lot less frustration in my life. And for a long time, I just thought I was a loser or a bad person, because I did not understand why I could go from an awesome church meeting where I was so sincere about wanting so much more of God, and then 2 days later, I'm back into my old patterns of destructive behavior, and I would do the thing that I didn't even want to do. And what I realized over time, that it wasn't because of a, you know, I wasn't born again. Now, the fact is my spirit was born again. I would try to pray more. I would try to fast more. God, I want more. And you ever done that? You just tried to do more to get better. And then I would feel like such a loser because I would pray and all I would be was hungry and grumpy and still really bad behavior. Nothing would really change. And I would get up and pray and pray. And all I was tired. And I would be praying and it would be like nothing changed. And it made me begin to think, you know what, God, this works for everyone else, but not for me. I am so broken that, you know what, the blood of Jesus can heal everybody else, but not Christine Kane, because I am just so, I lived like that internally for so long. And that's your story right now. And I'm here today to give you hope, to say it's not the end of the line. Don't give up. Don't throw it all away. Because there is hope for you. There is redemption for you. The same God that brought healing in my life is right here, right now, right where you are, ready to bring healing and restoration. And the lights are about to go on and you're going to understand what this whole deal is. Now, you know what happens. The Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 10, and I love the Message version. It says, the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, right? The moved into the neighborhood. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, the scripture says. And so God wants to move into the neighborhood of our lives. He wants to come in. He came God incarnate and he dwelt among us. Now through his Holy Spirit, he dwells in us. But what happens with us as Christians, we say the sinner's prayer, we receive Jesus, and then we don't necessarily, we want him to come into our lives and into our hearts, but not all of it. Not all of it. You could like come into the front room, but not all of the room. And so don't dwell among us. We'll come and visit you at church on Sunday, or we'll come and visit you on Wednesday night, but we don't really want you to move in to all of me because it's really bad. And you know, Jesus, you're really not going to like that place. Now, I know you're all the real holy people, but for everybody else out there, it's kind of like sometimes we've got, well, God, you can have this much, but there's this little bit. Either I want to hang on to it because I like my sin, or I've put some double deadlock padlocks around that part. And I had done this. I'd made some silent vows. No one will ever, I will never trust. I will never lie. Those vows I made as a victim of abuse. And you know what I was doing? I was locking God out of the places that he could come and bring healing and restoration in my life. Because, you know, there's a very big difference between visiting and moving in. Have you ever noticed that? What do you do when you have visitors that come over to your place? You know what we do? We all do this. We clean the lounge room where the visitor's going to sit. We dust it. We get rid of all the dust. You know, we get the good china out, the ones that nobody's allowed to use because that's for the special people. And so the kids are not allowed to touch those glasses because that's for the special people. And then what we do is we go into the kids' rooms and we kind of clean up, get all the dirty underwear, shove it in the cupboards, you know, hide everything, shut the doors, make it all look really awesome. And we have threatened our children. We have said, if you even look like you're going to fight or argue, when the visitors are here, there will be no Christmas presents for the next 45 years. And we have told everyone, be on your best behavior, put your best clothes on, look good. And you know what happens? The visitor comes at the appointed time. We're all ready. Everything's done. And we've got, you know, the special cookies that, you know, the kids are not allowed to touch them because that's for the visitors. And you know, the special, it's all done and we look great. And the visitor comes, they take their appointed seat and everything's really lovely and we're all polite. And, you know, if you're a mother, if you're a woman watching this, you know in particular that you have this sort of sixth sense that you know, even while you're just beautifully eye contact with your visitor, eye contact and smile, you can tell if your kids are out there about to have a fight and you can give them the evil eye without ever taking the eye off your visitor. And they know that they are so busted when the visitor comes. This is so bad, right? So everything's lovely. It all happens. And then the visitor just, you know, at most they're going to go to your bathroom and you've already taken out the sandpaper and put the really nice soft toilet paper because the visitors are coming. So you've got the really good stuff happening for the visitors. And then everyone is there at the appointed. Everyone's just lovely. They do their thing. Then they get up, they go. I mean, no sooner has the car left the driveway and World War III has broken back out at home. And, you know, everyone's in time out and it all kind of happens. And we're back to normal because they're gone. Well, I know, not in your church, but just in my church, this is what kind of people do every week when they go to church. We get in the car. I mean, we're driving on the way to church and World War III breaks out in the car. I mean, you are saying many four-letter words. None of them are in the Bible. And I mean, it is all just kind of happening. We're all going for it. And, you know, you've nearly killed your children. You've called your spouse every name that exists under the sun that's not biblical. Then you get into the church parking lot and it happens the world over. It's like the spirit of hypocrisy. It just comes upon us. It just flows. And so, I mean, you've nearly just committed murder in the car, but now you get to the foyer at the church and the greeter is there with their nice little, you know, bulletin and they're like, how are you today? And you're like, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's just lovely. You're like, I've been redeemed and sanctified and justified by the blood of the Lamb. And here is my cherubim and my seraphim. And we're just going into kids' church today so that they can learn the eternal truth of the Word of God. And then you get into church and we're all in church and we're singing, I worship you, O mighty God, you are holy. If he thinks he's getting any for the next month, that's not going to happen. And if you know, I'm not going to cook, if he can go cook his own dinner and lunch, I'm going to give him last month the dog food. That's what he's going to. I mean, it is amazing. In between oceans and Jesus, what a beautiful name, what you can be thinking at that time about what you are not and not going to do when you get out of church. And then the pastor begins to preach the sermon and you're taking notes and you are hitting him every second. This is for you. And are you listening? And God is speaking. And it's like, it is all down there. And then we get into the car. I mean, we just hold it together barely as we get out of the church parking lot and then bang, out it starts again. And then you know what? Maybe at best, we might even still be a Christian Sunday night. Monday on a good week, but by Tuesday, your evil twin is out. And I'm telling you, it is back to Jekyll and Hyde. And by Wednesday, you can't stand yourself again because you're like, here we go again. And God, I so really want to be the man or the woman of God that you've called me to be. God, I so want to do this. And then you just live in guilt and shame and condemnation. And we go through the whole thing all over again next week. And some of us are 20 years on in our Christian walk. And of course, that's a gross exaggeration maybe, but that's the theme of so many Christian lives. It's like a Christian yo-yo, 3 steps forward, 4 steps back, 3 steps forward, 4 steps back. And then someone like me comes on and says, well, you know, I had a history of abuse and abandonment and adoption and rejection. And you're like, Christine, why are you walking in freedom? And I seem to have 3 good days and 5 bad days and 2 good weeks and 6 really bad weeks. And I need you to know that was my story for a really long time until I discovered that God wanted to move into the neighborhood of my wounded soul. My soul was so damaged and my soul was so wounded. And I had to be willing and continually have to be willing, can I just say, to allow the Holy Spirit to come and do a deep work. Yes. In those areas of my soul where, you know what, I didn't want anyone to come in. It was so damaged. It was so broken. It was so wounded. It was so fragmented, but it was affecting all of my relationships. I would not be doing what I'm doing today. I wouldn't be running this broadcast. I wouldn't be writing books that help people around the world, teaching people around the world. I wouldn't be leading A21 and helping to rescue the victims of human trafficking. I wouldn't be leading Propel Women and helping to propel women into their passion and their purpose and their potential. None of that would be happening. Not because God didn't give me the gift or talent, not because I didn't sincerely desire it, but because my soul would have been so fragmented that I could not have sustained that kind of thing, that I couldn't have sustained it. So in order to have consistency in my Christian life and consistency in my ministry, I had to allow God to come in deep. And there are still things that can trigger things in me. And so I'm a great believer that you need to go and get help. Even recently, I remember I've got a great counselor that I go and see every now and again. If something triggers something in me, maybe something is triggered in a relational situation, I think, why did I react like that? Where did that come from? And then I'll find another area of my soul that the Holy Spirit wants to do a deeper healing work from the inside out. And you know what I find? Every time He heals me more deeply on the inside, then He propels me further externally. And I've stopped even setting goals for what I want to do out there. I set goals for how much I want God to bring healing on the inside out. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And so will you allow God to continue to do a deep work in the neighborhood of your soul? And you know what? It's often painful. I remember when I snapped my ACL, the PT came into the ward just after I came out of surgery. I had a hamstring graft. And he said to me these words. He said, "Christine, you can heal from this injury. It's one of the most painful things to heal from. It was more painful than giving birth, to be honest with you." He said to me, "You can heal quickly or slowly. You can heal completely or partially. It is entirely your choice. The degree to which you are willing to embrace the pain of recovery is the degree to which you will recover." And when it comes to our Christian life, the degree to which we are willing to embrace the pain of recovery from the inside out is the degree to which we will recover and be able to soar and be able to flourish in life. Now, yes, I went through a whole lot of pain to get this knee working again. And the fact is now I've got full movement. A lot of people with the depth of the injury that I had don't have this kind of movement. So I'm able to flourish. I'm able to run. I'm able to ski. There's nothing that I cannot do. But I had to go through a lot of pain to be able to get this knee to work again so that my leg can work. And in fact, as the doctor said to me, my right knee is now stronger than my left knee with the hamstring graft. And that's what can happen. The very thing that the enemy wanted to take you out with can become your very strength. Sometimes we hide our wounded soul from God, so we think, as though God can see everything, or we try to hide it from people because we think if they saw my brokenness, if they saw my woundedness, then you know what, they wouldn't want to come close to me, or that God could not use me. But I'm here to tell you, your brokenness does not disqualify you from the purposes of God. It is the very thing that God uses to qualify you for His purposes. What feeds the multitudes out of my life is not my strengths, but it's my weaknesses. It's those broken places when I can say to people, "Hey, and you know what? God can do it for you." And it's not, you could look at me and go, "Well, Christine, it's okay for you. You're running all of these global enterprises." No, I could say the girl that was left unnamed and unwanted in a hospital, the same God that was with that same girl is the same God that can do it for you. That girl that came through 12 years of abuse, the same God that healed her is the same God that can heal you, the same God that can bring healing and breakthrough into your life. It's out of our broken places. So allow God to come in and do that work. I know it can be terrifying at times to give the key to God when you gave the key to someone else that so violated and abused you. But I want you to know, Scripture tells us that God is light and in Him there is no darkness. Someone needs to hear this today. God has no dark side. There is no dark side. I know people may have hurt you. I know people may have abused you, may have violated you, but you have to know you can trust God with the key to your heart, the key to your soul, because He has no dark side. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never abuse you. He will never violate you. Your God is for you. Your God is a healer. Your God is a redeemer. And there is nowhere that you've been hurt that Jesus cannot heal you and bring healing to that broken place and to bring healing to that wounded place. He binds up the brokenhearted. He heals all of our wounds. You have to understand that if you don't reveal it, then He can't heal it. Allow Him to come to that place to bring healing and restoration. And I'm believing, God, that You are going to allow the Spirit of God to come in and do a deep work in your soul. If we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, then let it be with all of our whole heart, all of our whole soul, and all of our whole mind. Your God wants to move into the neighborhood and bring healing and wholeness into your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. We hope today's message has encouraged and helped you. By the way, we'd love to see you positioned to experience all the great things God wants to do in your life. And we've got a special gift that'll help you do that. Just go to ChristineCain.com/podcast devotional and download your free copy of Christine's 14-day devotional, Spiritual Growth Spurts.